Howdy, and welcome to Bob the Lector. I'm Bob. The purpose of this podcast is to inspire Catholic lectors to bring their proclamation of God's Word to life. This episode is for the January 4th Sunday Mass's second reading. It's the Epiphany of Our Lord, Year A. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit. Namely, that the mystery was made known to me by revelation. It was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and co-partners in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. The word of the Lord. Happy New Year, y'all. Just like our liturgical year has had a lot of Isaiah in the first reading, we've had a lot of Paul in the second reading. Fortunately, in this particular reading, Paul doesn't torture the English sentence structure and us lectors as badly as he sometimes does. So let's get to it, shall we? I always start my own lector practice with preparation, which is not the external proclamation, but the internal discernment of the message. What is God saying here? What is his purpose? What is the meaning of this reading? Because if it doesn't mean anything to us, how can we as lectors make it mean anything to the congregation before us? Usually I focus on what the readings say to our hearts. Sometimes, though, I also need to aim for the head, because there's an intellectual or academic component that needs to be unlocked to better grasp the message. This is one of those readings. Paul's writing style and sentence structure can be complex and convoluted. Fortunately, we've seen worse. And this episode's grammar tangents will be limited to the first of the two sentences comprising this reading. Paul's letter to the Ephesians was written in a simplified form of Greek, used as the common language in the Mediterranean and Middle East, which used a variety of different tongues and dialects. The closest language we have to that now is English. I'll come back to the Greek when we dive into the reading. The heart of this message is quite simple and one-dimensional. Jesus came to save the Gentiles, not just the Israelites. We take it for granted now, but at the time, this was a big deal, highly controversial, and a mind-blowing change of direction. What lessons do you get from this reading? Consider two ways to kick off this reading, and choose the one most authentic for you. Brothers and sisters, with an upward lilt, or brothers and sisters, with a downward lilt. Whichever method you choose, these words tell us this is a personal and intimate message to be presented in a conversational tone. This informal manner will make the reading more accessible to your listeners. Then we have an extraordinarily long sentence. Imagine, Paul writing a long sentence? I'm kidding. Does he have any other kind? It starts with, "You have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit." Try delivering that segment without pauses, as if it's a sentence in itself, and say it with the tone you would use in everyday conversation. We use those first four words, "you have heard of," in our daily interactions. For example, "You have heard of the Irwin siblings, who both won the DWTS mirror ball." Come up with a sentence starting with "you have heard of" you would use in your own daily conversation, and use it as a template for how you informally share this segment with the folks before you. But of course, the people in the pews have not heard, so you're creating suspense here. Stewardship is not a word we use very often. It means the responsible overseeing and protection of something considered worth caring for and preserving. Literally, Paul was given God's grace that he maintains as a steward for the church in Ephesus. Then we have a descriptive clause, "that was given to me for your benefit," that modifies grace. So Paul is holding this gift for the benefit of the Ephesians. Pause after benefit, because we'll now change our tone to a more factual one. Then the sentence is completed with, namely, "that the mystery was made known to me by revelation." Grammatically, this is another descriptive clause that also applies to grace. The two words to emphasize here are mystery and revelation. These are big words connoting suspense. Mystery, because it refers to something hidden, and revelation, because it refers to something unknown, but now known, except we don't know yet. But Paul does. So say these words in a way that creates anticipation, even excitement. A quick aside. Revelation is translated from the Koine Greek word apokalypsis, which denotes unveiling or revealing. Then we have our second sentence, which starts with, "It was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." So build on the suspense of "not made known" and then "now been revealed." Emphasize "not" and "now." Paul still hasn't spilled the beans. He has not yet let us in on his secret. Pause after "spirit" to play up the anticipation and even excitement before Paul's big reveal. That the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and co-partners in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Say this with barely suppressed excitement and zeal. Emphasize co-heirs, members, same body, and co-partners. Share your giddiness over this surprise Paul reveals. Express wonderment over this message that the Gentiles, including the Ephesians and the parishioners before you, now have been given the benefits of salvation that was originally promised only to the Israelites. Use a tone of voice and facial expression of dismayed excitement. Try thinking of a sentence you might use in everyday conversation, starting with, "You're not going to believe this, but..." Then mirror that cadence and tenor. Also highlight "promise," but do so differently from the preceding emphasized words, since they all refer to the Gentiles, while "promise" refers to the object of their newfound status. Briefly pause after co-heirs, body, co-partners, promise, and Jesus. Note the parallelism in the closing prepositional phrases, "in Christ Jesus," and "through the gospel." Use a tone to draw attention to this, and close out the reading with a downward lilt. Well, that's all for now. Thanks for listening. My hope is these ideas will help you find your authentic voice, so your proclamation of God's word will transform your listeners, whether they're in pain and broken or just going through the motions. Because the good news deserves great delivery. Visit us on the web at bobthelector.org, and we'll see you at the Ambo.